the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches or ecclesias. There, candlesticks are associated with ecclesias. And now you start wondering a little bit about what's going on here. What relationship do they have? And remember, Paul was very close to the law. He says, I was taught under the feet of Gamaliel. And now he looks at, well, Solomon's temple. Herod's temple had some problems with it, which we'll talk about later. But you could see that Paul is already picking up this idea of a temple and a man in terms of us. And by the way, now, whether or not Paul is going to be as detailed as this, I don't know that. But I do think if you pause and consider it, things change the way in which we behave. The man here, while we're talking about physical things of the man, the brain, the lungs, heart, that's all well and good, atomically speaking. That's not really what we're interested in. We're interested really in what does this mean for the character of a man? And I submit to you, the Lord Jesus thought about this a long time, about this. How much his father helped him in this understanding, I don't know. But certainly, there was a very much interest on his part. Note here, too, and I failed to mention, notice that the legs in the temple were named Boaz and Jacob. Interesting. Well, why would you name legs? Or the pillars, in this case. What would you name them? What was the point of that? Again, you have to kind of look at things. What I find interesting is people will say, well, I've got a New Testament Bible here. Well, I don't know how you're understanding the New Testament if you don't know what the Old Testament said, because this in particular has a big impact on what you read. And you'll see that in verses as we go along and this weekend. Also look here at the head. And here you get into Nebuchadnezzar's image. You have a head of gold. And in Philippians 2, we have the mind of Christ. Contrast the two. Nebuchadnezzar's image stands up with what? Gold and silver and brass and legs, two legs, obviously. And there, the governments and world itself are representative by a human body as well. And yet, Jesus, who is our head, is much higher than that. He's the one that we follow. And that's the person that we want to consider. Which one was correct? Now, the head of gold represented Nebuchadnezzar, did it not? Nebuchadnezzar was, of course, laid low. But he was the head of the whole image of the kingdoms of the world. By contrast, the Lord Jesus is now also the head of the body. He becomes the head of all the governments of the earth. He is the one that we follow in that regard. So what does all that mean? We talk about, you can look up there in Philippians 2 that we should put on the mind of Christ. What does that mean exactly? What is the mind of Christ? What would you say Jesus centered on in his life? What does it mean to have that? Again, we talk about these verses and as though, we've heard these verses before. But stop and think, why were we created the way we were created? Why is the mind of Christ important? And what does this all represent, this head of gold and this mind of Christ? Is it not the most holy place? Isn't that the area of our lives that we center on? Is that not what governs our body even? And we look at this and we start realizing that Jesus thought a lot about the temple. I mean, a lot. as we're going to see as we go through, he's going to say things that we take one way, and I think his intent may well have moved in another direction. He may have said, you think that, but I'm going to another level here. And I find that really interesting, that Jesus thought, again, go back and look at that. How did Jesus think? What were his thoughts? What was he centered on? Yes, he went to his father in the morning and would pray, and his father would talk to him and say, the words my father gave me, I'm giving to you now. But Jesus made, with his quick understanding, other connections, other things. And many of the disciples, including ourselves, said, what is he talking about? Even the disciples didn't catch on, apparently, to him rising from the dead the third day. No big surprise to them. Even though he told them, he flat out told them, and listen, you didn't understand. And I think we fall into that gap as well. We think we know, but we don't know. So that's something to consider when you contrast Nebuchadnezzar's image with, again, a body of a kingdom to come, and the way in which it's laid out, and where we fit in to all of this scheme, if you will. There are hidden secrets going on here. We'll see that in our second class. Or consider this from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Solomon, parentheses Jesus, because again, as Barclay said, everything's about Jesus. So if you're reading certain things, you need to start inserting Jesus into some of those verses. When Solomon or Jesus finished praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. What temple? Well, Solomon's temple. Really? Just Solomon's temple? And the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house, whose house we are. It wasn't just God coming down on the most holy place. It went further. It went into the holy place itself, and the priests that were there running out of the building. They couldn't withstand the glory of the Lord. They ran out. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, as in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped, praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. What's that story all about? What is this? Is this just the dedication of Solomon's temple? And you read it and go, well, that was nice. That was a nice dedication. Is this something for the future when the Lord himself dedicates a new temple? That the Lord God, the Father, after a millennial rule, comes down. What does all that mean? And so I'm sure Jesus, even as a young man, would read these kind of verses and start thinking. Imagine, for instance, you're a rabbi in Israel, and at 7 years old, Joseph brings their son Jesus to the rabbi to begin his formal training. And it didn't take probably too long for the rabbi to catch on that this child is very different. And so by age 12, they brings him up to the Sanhedrin, and he starts talking to the priest, giving questions and answering questions. And the rabbi probably saying to his other priest, you need to meet this person. And what 12-year-old could they possibly expect? But Jesus, of great understanding, realizes things even at age 12. I don't know what you're doing at age 12. It wasn't this, but he understood very, very deep things about how we're made, what our purpose is, and how we're supposed to live. Now, in our second period class, what I do want to consider is we're going to come back to this chart in a little more detail. I want to go into more, now we're not going to go into every little aspect of this, but there's things about our human body that you may not be aware of. I wasn't when I went into it, but there's things going on in the way in which we're made that make you pause and say, that's interesting. Why were we made like that? What is going on? What are the Lord's intentions? What are his intentions with us? So we're going to go in more detail in looking at these various aspects. I would mention there was a, Brother Allen mentioned about questions you might have. I'm not really proficient in the Canadian language, so you might want to, you know, bring it down a notch for Americans. But these kinds of questions are really hard. When you get down into it, these are really hard questions, but you start sitting down going, why am I the way I am? And why is the woman a special creation? What's that all about? Did the angels look at it and go, I've never seen a woman, but why are we doing this, a woman? And how does this have any relationship to this man over here? And all this ties in to a beautiful subject of what the Lord is doing for us. So consider this, as, and you're looking through these verses, I would certainly consider that you read this and look at these verses in a different way, especially 1 Corinthians 6. But we're the temple, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. How is that? Why is that? And should we live our life any differently as a result of that? It's a very good question that we hopefully will resolve to some extent. So I'm going to stop there because our next area in which we go into gets a little bit more detailed, let's say. And you're going to look at that and go, that ain't true. That's why we have an internet, I guess. And we'll stop at that point. And so I thank you now for your attention.